Okay, hey everybody, welcome to our movie watchers group. As Ken said, our movie for this month was Faith Like Potatoes. One of Regina's favorites. And I hope you enjoyed watching the movie. I hope you found the movie play sheet helpful. And as you know, the movie was about a South African farmer who, the words keep going through my head, found Jesus. Who would like to tell us your thoughts about the movie? You can go through the play sheet if you like. You can answer any question on the play sheet, or you can just give us your general impressions. Okay, I think this shows Jay's up, right?
Yes.
Okay, Jay, please take the mic.
Hey, thanks, Jacqueline. I really loved this movie. I was very excited that those potatoes came out nice and healthy. That was awesome. I wish I would have seen this movie earlier. I really loved it. I'm definitely going to watch this movie again. It's probably one of my more favorite movies so far with the Movie Watchers group. I really was moved by the zeal that he had when he really got to his surrender moment and came to the altar, and just turned everything over, right? And it just is interesting how whatever like human personality we have is all good because it's all used by spirit for the one. However we show up is perfect. His case was that of a very full of zeal, outgoing, speak in front of a lot of people character that was used in a really powerful way and in a moving way. And so it was neat to see that, how much, that personality was then just used for all that energy instead of for anger and getting pissed at his farmhands and helpers, was just transformed into this force for spirit. That was really, that whole process of transformation was pretty amazing. So that was my comment. Giving up the mic.
Thank you, Jay. It's fun to see you excited about the movie. That's really cool. I love it when people get excited about this stuff, and you could hear that in your comments and in your voice. You mentioned the scene in the movie about where he turned his life over to God or to Jesus, at the altar. And it's funny, when I watch that scene, I think of Glenn and Yolanda, because they talk about the altar call. So if you're not familiar with that type of church, you have now seen an altar call when they say, "Come on down and give your life to Jesus." And that's exactly what Angus did in that scene.
Our grandparents used to do that. Go to churches that would do that.
Oh, I've been down that. I've gone down at the altar call, no
Yeah.
question. Yeah,
In
and
country
it.
churches, yeah.
Yeah, the country churches, but it is. I mean, and I have really have done that more than once, and it's just a complete surrender. It's like, okay, I'm ready. I give it all to you. And yeah, so it's really sweet. It's sweet and makes me cry just talking about it. Who else would like to? Oh, here. My dad's bagpipe teacher's name was Angus. Is that you, Jay?
I think of steak when I hear Angus.
Angus. That's black Angus,
Oh, yeah.
right? Not that kind of Angus. As you guys can see, I'm doing this the movie play sheet. I'm using a general format that we originally came up with. But I got kind of tickled when I sat down again with the movie last night and saw this question number one on the movie play sheet. If you were to rename this movie from a spiritual or truth perspective, what name would you give it? Let's see, Faith Like Potatoes?
That's actually my answer to the question.
Is it really?
That's the best name in the world.
I think so too. Although, Connie, you had another one. What was the one you came up with?
Faith Changes Everything.
Faith Changes Everything. That's a good one. Yeah. Did anybody else have a... Jay says, Scottish guy finds God. That's a good name, too. Maybe not a box office draw, but yeah. did anybody else have a name they wanted to share, that they renamed the movie from a spiritual perspective? Okay. All right. Does anybody have any comments either from the play sheet or just in general?
What's the next question on the play sheet?
The next question is, in what ways, if any, were you able to identify with Angus, the main character? Would anybody like to answer that one? Well, I can tell you how I identified with Angus. He was fully, at the beginning of that movie, he was fully in the belief that if it was going to get done, it was up to him, and if he worked hard, he could make it happen. And that's a large part of what he gave up. You know, the willingness to not have to make it happen, and the acceptance of whatever came with that. So that was, so for me that was a big one. Jay writes, I was. I'm not sure what you were, Jay. I identify with someone that got angry when things didn't go his way that later transformed. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Were you able to identify with Angus, Regina?
I think that, in a minute, when it's time, I'll sit down and go through all of this. But okay. It's not time for me to do that yet. But I think I identified with both Angus's wrong mind and his right mind. I mean, you know, like I certainly have had that I've got to make this happen attitude, and I've had that incredible faith and seen the miracle happen, right? I've had both experiences, so I would say, yeah, I identified with Angus in both ways. Of course, I'm most inspired by the faith and waiting for the miracle. There's nothing inspirational, actually, about making stuff happen.
No.
It's just, you know, it's just...
Work.
Work, yeah. So
efforting.
Yeah. Efforting.
Yeah. Thank you, yeah. Hey, Ruby, welcome. The next question I have on the play sheet is, in what way did Angus change from the beginning of the movie to the end? And how are these changes reflective of spiritual growth? Well, we've kind of answered that a little bit, haven't we? Letting go of that, I got to do it all. Did anybody have any additional answers for that question? Yeah, surrendered. Abigail says, surrendered. Yeah, the next question here on the play sheet is, what does the phrase, faith like potatoes, mean? I've written mean from a spiritual truth perspective, but what does the phrase, faith like potatoes, mean to you? I mean, particularly if you've seen the whole movie now, if you were going to use that phrase with somebody, oh man, he's got faith like potatoes. What does that mean? Maybe someone that is moving to Pueblo, Jay says. you're in the dark, not knowing until you do, Kathy says.
Yeah. And I think it's
blind trust, Abigail.
Yeah, and I would say it's a trust beyond the laws of the world. Right?
Right.
And because it was a drought, Everybody said he was crazy, mm-hmm. you know, because potatoes need lots of water. And in fact, the plants even died above ground.
Yeah, and he didn't dig them up to see how they were doing.
He didn't dig them up to see. So it was really trust beyond the laws of the world, right?
Yeah. And the scene that I thought was also indicative of that was where he was talking to that group in the town hall. And, well, gosh, all those things were faith beyond the laws of the world. But where he was talking to that group in the town hall, and he talked about how his corn had been destroyed by a hailstorm, and it raised itself back up and grew anyway.
Yeah.
And he didn't do anything. You know, he wasn't like, oh, my God, I'm so worried. He just let that happen. And then the scene where he rented that stadium.
Yes.
And, you know, the guy's like, you can't afford the stadium.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, we're supposed to have the stadium. Yeah, beyond what, you know, you wouldn't, even if you could rent the place, you wouldn't think you'd get a farmer in there, right, to pray with you. Yeah, so, and remember, this was a true story.
True story.
Yeah, so, I mean, I frankly cannot imagine going and renting a stadium that there's no way in heck
what
I could.
What about buying big
I know, land? That just went through my mind. Never mind, we're going for this $3 million property. Yeah. I can't imagine it.
I'm going to tell them what's happening with
okay,
the $3 million.
Okay, do you want to
sit here? No, I don't. I'll sit down when I get into this.
All right.
We do have this property that I just want to tell you that we went and looked at it just from the road on Thursday with Jacqueline and Connie and Susie, and you guys may have seen the pictures. But what was really interesting is while we're standing there looking at this property, Jacqueline gets chills and visible goosebumps. She's covered with these goosebumps standing in front of this property. And, you know, my heart just opens up and I get all weepy. You know, and I know some of y'all are the weepy type, but I am not. I mean, I just not. But every time I'm there, I just feel like I want to cry, and it's like a gratitude cry. You know, it's just, we just love this property, but it feels like it's in our heart. And, of course, we really don't know what's going to occur. But right now, interestingly, the property is under contract with another buyer. But if you go and you look at the MLS listing, it says contingent.
Oh.
Clear as day, contingent is the current status. Hmm. So, what's it contingent on? Now, laws of the world would probably say they probably wrote something in there that they have to work out with Open Colorado Lands on this particular property, right? But maybe it's contingent on our faith like potatoes.
Oh, wow. Okay, got those chills again, y'all.
You know, we'll have to watch and see what happens. And obviously, we are prepared to accept, you know, whatever God gives us. We're not going to say, it should have been different, right? But I just, when I went and looked at the MLS and saw that, you know, the status was contingent, not status under contract, not status offer accepted, status contingent.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Thank you, Regina. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, not to mention we don't have the $3 million yet.
Oh, yeah, and we do not yet have the $3 million. Yeah. But we could any day. I haven't checked my lottery tickets yet.
Yeah.
Maybe we do. But we are, we've got faith like potatoes. Gosh, I think we just talked about number 5, how did Angus demonstrate faith like potatoes? We talked
about
that number of times. Yeah. How about, would anybody like to take a crack at the next question? What was the significance of the scene where a character was risen from the dead? And before you watch the movie, I didn't want to tell you, you know, who was involved in that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to give it away. But there was a scene where Angus was called to the Zulu village and told that... couple of women had gotten struck by lightning, and one was severely injured and one was dead. And he went in and shook her by the shoulders and said something like, in the name of Jesus,
yeah.
Stand up.
Lord Jesus, help me.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I don't know what to do.
Yeah, so that's cool. I didn't quite catch those words. But he was there and willing, right? He was there and willing. Did anybody have anything that they wanted to share about that scene? They're a quiet group tonight.
Well, I certainly have a lot to share. If you feel like I should jump in there and share, I will. You got more questions?
Here's the weird thing. I wanted to answer a question that I didn't put on here.
Okay, so go ahead and ask your own question.
Because this is usually on the play sheet. The question is, was there a Holy Spirit character? And could you identify one of the characters, a Holy Spirit character, and what characteristics did that character exhibit that you equate with the Holy Spirit? And I was thinking about, it came in my mind a while ago, that the Holy Spirit character was, and I don't know the guy's name, that his Abdullah or what? No,
yeah,
that's a birth wife.
Zulu.
Yes, the main Zulu that was helping him with the farm was absolutely like the Holy Spirit character. I mean, nothing was, he wasn't shaken by anything. He went right along with everything. You could just see his big heart. And you know his absolutely wanting the best for everyone. That character, he's like God. We just sit home and drink, you know. but it wasn't it was like he was just life. There was no need for a ritual, for making anything ritualistic. And I think that he just always, you know, he was there as protector of the wife when Angus went away. I mean, he was just a solid, calm presence. So for me, that was the Holy Spirit character.
Ask if anybody got annoyed by the Jesus stuff in the movie.
Okay, I will, but let me tell you what Kathy said first. Kathy said the Holy Spirit character was his wife for putting up with Angus. Abigail says, I say the wife, unwavering faith and unconditional. Jay notes that the wife had doubts at one point. And Kathy says, especially in the beginning of the movie. But yeah, so did the Jesus stuff bother you guys? The Bible thumping in the movie? That's what we call them at home, Bible thumpers. No, Jay says no. It was different. I mean, for me, it was. I had to look beyond the heavy, in my mind, Southern Baptist, you know, Jesus died for your sins, they even say at one point in the movie. So for me, I had to, like Kathy said, take it with a grain of salt. Because faith is faith, right? Faith in God is faith. So it doesn't have to be of any particular flavor. Abigail notes it brought up some of her childhood church experiences. Yeah, that's absolutely true for me and for Connie, I know. No faith flavor preference, Jay says.
That's a good attitude.
Yeah. Connie, did you want to share anything on your sheet before Regina shares?
I felt like my better answers are ones to come.
Oh, okay. Well, come over here. You do those too. Connie's going to do the last three questions.
Don't step on the dog.
I can't even get out of this chair.
No, it's a chair you're supposed to stay in.
I did step on the dog. I'm sorry.
You did step on the dog.
I kicked her a little bit.
Jamie, come over here and nope, you won't be in people's way. Jamie.
Honey, you share as much or as little as you want. Honey.
Jamie.
Okay. Is this all set up? Do I have to
it's
do
all
anything?
Set up. No, you just
okay.
Speak.
Hello, folks. So, question number 7 says, what was the significance of the death of one of Angus's relatives? Hey. Oh, everybody's so sweet. They're saying hello. Hey, everybody. What was the significance of the death of one of Angus's relatives? And my answer is, even with faith, life happens. And in this case, I guess life was ending. But it isn't all about protecting Angus and his family because he had the faith. It occurred to me that when Angus prayed that he not be embarrassed as at his first gathering, that in fact life might embarrass him. Because it's we have this faith, but it doesn't put us in a bubble not to exist and not to to be embarrassed and not to have a death in the family and not feel the responsibilities of that. But but that doesn't need to negate our faith, or it really doesn't have anything to do with our faith, which seemed to be a little bit of a misnomer to me in the movie, because I think, let me see, what will you take away from this movie? The last question, is, and I wrote, faith won't necessarily protect you from life, as depicted in the movie. But whatever happens is the perfection of life. So faith certainly got him there. And maybe even held him there, and it was kind of romanticized in that way, it seemed to me, a little bit. But I think what I took away that wasn't necessarily in the movie is that life is going to continue to happen whether we have this faith or not. And and obviously faith is a wonderful thing to have, particularly as we get started on our journey. Okay. Thank you all.
Thank you, Connie. Yeah, I think that was that's a real insightful point. I remember Regina interviewing Suzanne Marie, who talked about that. Who, when she said when she woke up, she thought everything was going to be, you know, peaches and cream, and then like her brother died or something, and she's like, you know, it doesn't protect you from life.
Right.
So, so I think that was...
Well, of course, Angus's nephew fell from the tractor.
Yeah, that's the death of the relative. Again, I didn't want to give that away.
Well, now they should have seen it.
No, now they've seen it. Yeah, but I mean, that's why I wrote the question that way. Yeah, because, and in this case, the death was of the kid who he just adored and who adored him. So, I get chills all the time. It just moved, you know? But I was real moved by that. He clearly adored the kid, and it took him a while to get over it. But you know, can you imagine where he would have been if he hadn't had the faith to fall back on? Who's now waiting for him? Jay says, yeah. The kid's dad had a dream, and the kid said, the dad asked the kid, Alistair, you know, do you want to come back? And Alistair said, no, Daddy, I'm waiting for you. That's really sweet.
You know, and that to me was a real sweet reminder of our father just passing, Jacqueline, and my dad passed, and there was that people who had insights as to that was saying that Dad had said, I'm more alive now than I've ever been.
Yeah, so we think it's and we were just hearing Joan Tollefson talk about that. We re-listened to that sad song, you know. We think something like that is tragic, right? And it's like, well, not necessarily, right? Or we think the good stuff is really good. Well, not necessarily. You know, it's what leads to awakening, right?
Do you want me to go now?
I do. Regina's up.
was wondering, that's why you did not take the chair back. I thought, okay, I think this is like, this is my cue.
You're on.
Okay. I have a lot. And one reason I have a lot is because when we were originally going to do this in April, and I thought I was going to be in Ireland, and so I typed up all of my thoughts for Jacqueline so that she would see why I love the movie. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to share all of my thoughts, and I'll tell you what, it's a little over four pages of thoughts. So please be patient, and if you have something you want to type as I go along, do. But also, if something I say sparks something you say, you might just make a note so you don't forget, and then take the mic after me, because we still want to hear what you all have to say. But here we go. So one of the first things in the movie was a sentence that said, the condition for a great miracle is impossibility. You know, like a ranch already under contract and you don't have the money to buy it. Woo! Talk about impossibility.
Great miracle.
Great miracle. So the condition for a great miracle is impossibility. And of course, as we all know, typically we think that we can take care of ourselves. And often it's only when the situation is absolutely dire and there's nothing that we can do to take care of ourselves, that's when many people surrender. Right? I mean, it has to get, right? It has to get to that point of impossibility before they'll surrender, because up until that point, they think, I can do it. You know, we're the little engine that could, right? I think I can. And as long as we think we're doing it, it's not going to appear as a miracle, right? So, but again, lots of people, when it just gets to where there's absolutely nothing they can do and the situation is completely dire, that's when they surrender. And then through surrender, they're able to discover what the benevolent universe can do when we get out of the way. So that's what I took as the condition for a great miracle is impossibility. This reminded me also of the Tao Te Ching, because the Tao Te Ching says that the Taoist master does nothing and nothing is left undone. And of course, that's because the universe takes care of everything, again, if we stay out of the way and don't go around pushing the pendulum with our low vibration thinking while we're trying to control and fix things. Of course, in the beginning, Angus was that type. You know, he was always saying, I will make this work my way. That sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Yeah, real familiar.
I'll make this work my way. And he fought everything, it seemed like. He fought every situation that arose. And again, this reminded me of the Tao Te Ching, because the Tao Te Ching also teaches that the one who tries to force things goes against the Tao. He's out of harmony with the natural movement of the universe, and of course this will only create trouble. And that's exactly what was going on with Angus in the beginning of the movie. I thought it was really funny. His wife, of course, just sees how it's getting worse and worse and worse, and she obviously wants to make things better. So she invites him to go to an event at a local Methodist church. And it's so funny because Angus throws a great big fit about the fact that he has to wear a tie. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
This huge fit. And, of course, you just saw it last night. That's why you remember
that. That's
I saw it last night, I remember too. I saw it 2 months ago. Yeah, he throws a great big fit because he has to wear a tie. Now, going to church in this movie, to me, represents a rise in vibration, right? And what he was really doing, even though he was clearly suffering, he was still afraid of change. He still wanted to stay at the same vibrational level. He preferred to stay in his current hell then face the unknown. Think about that, because we're all just like him.
Yeah.
He preferred to stay right where he was, suffering as much as he was suffering, than to go into this unknown. And certainly I felt like his I am bad thought was a part of his stuckness. I mean, he probably imagined going to the church and being judged by everyone, right? And he would rather stay in hell than go through that. So that was kind of interesting. But as we know, and as we've already talked about, he did get saved. He gave his life to Jesus. And, of course, this represents the surrender.
And then after this, we do see a change in him. It's a genuine surrender, because after this, we don't see him trying to push the universe around anymore. Instead, he is listening. He's trying to walk in harmony with the universe, which, of course, he refers to as God or Jesus. So he's trying to be in harmony rather than trying to make everything go his own way. One of the first miracles that we see is when he's burning a field and the fire gets out of control. And it's not the season for rain in Africa. It's a natural drought season. But Angus prays for rain anyway. And in this case, this isn't really him praying for his way, although it might appear that way. What's really happening is Angus is demonstrating faith that the world is not real. Because if the world was real, it would not rain. There's not a cloud in the sky. It's not the season for rain, right? But he prays for rain anyway. So this is really his demonstration that, you know, they say in the Bible, everything is possible with God, right? It's the trust in that sentence, everything is possible with God, more than trusting his own mind, his own experience, everybody else's minds, everybody else's experience, right? He's trusting that more, and that's really an important step for him. We also see a scene where he's reading the Bible, just laying around the corn right in the middle of the workday. That lazy bum, no. He's laying in the corn, reading the Bible, and what this scene to me symbolized is a change of his priorities. Instead of working 18 hours a day, 7 days a week, trying to make the world conform to what he wants, he's now working in harmony with the universe. He's following that intuition, and that intuition is including time for contemplation of God, right? And he's taking that time because he feels that guidance to take that time. So his life is much more heart-centered, and he's much more interested in the heart than anything else. If he was still more interested in the success of his farm, for example, he wouldn't be laying in the cornfield reading the Bible in the middle of the day. So we see a genuine change in his priorities. He's much more interested in God, the heart, guidance, and allowing everything else to be as it's going to be. He did, after he came out of the corn, he told a preacher, God spoke to me in there, and he said, just trust me. This is what God said to Angus, just trust me. Right? That was his guidance. Think about that. His guidance was just trust me. And trust is a higher vibration, of course, than fear or worry or trying to control things. I was once told, it's a funny sentence until you contemplate it, I was once told, trust, trust. Trust, trust. And the reason you can trust is because trust is a higher vibrational energy. Right? And the mistake that most of us make is we actually trust fear. Right? We think if we worry about something long enough, somehow that's going to fix it. We trust fear. And so I was taught to trust, trust. And that's really the same thing that Angus was getting. Just trust me.
And may I interject?
Of course you may.
And that's, once again, that's kind of confirms our faith in a benevolent God or
universe, yeah.
Universe, yes.
Or consciousness.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, because to trust is to say that there's something worth trusting.
There's benevolence there.
And indicates a benevolence.
Yes. Yes, I agree with that. Thank you, Connie. Thank you. So, okay, so now I'm going to get to the scene where the woman was killed by a lightning strike. And when Angus first ran in there, you know, they came and got him because he was the boss man.
Well, and they also said, your God is powerful.
Oh, your God is powerful. Okay, so they came and got him, and they brought him in there. And, you know, he sees this woman is dead, and everybody's crying. He says, Lord Jesus, help me. Oh, God, I don't know what to do. Woo! Talk about I just got chills saying that. You know, it wasn't like he ran in there, I'm going to raise this girl from the dead, right? He ran in there, I don't know what to do. And that's a complete surrender. And that's, you know, he became the empty vessel at that point. And so what happened next was able to happen, was able to move him in the way it did to raise that girl from the dead, which is to me a much bigger step than just praying for rain, right? He was able to raise that girl from the dead because he didn't know what to do, right? He didn't walk in there with the idea, with any ideas. He didn't have the idea, she's dead, I have to console these people. Like, that's my responsibility, is to make everybody feel better. You know, he didn't walk in there with the idea, I have God on my side, I'm going to raise this woman from the dead. He didn't, or any other idea in between. He went in there with an I don't know attitude. I don't know what to do, right? And then through that absolute openness, what occurred, occurred. And this kind of reminded me of something I had written in a tip before. The tip says, when the conditions are right, consciousness manifests as a temporary appearance within consciousness. That temporary appearance could be a flower, a baby, a disease, or an appearance that appears to defy the laws of our world. When the basics of the creative principle are understood, to the degree that those basics can be understood, it is seen that temporary manifestation occurs because the conditions come together in a way to create that appearance. And remember, this is a true story. So what we're talking about is the conditions came together in the right way to create the appearance of a dead person being raised from the dead. Right? And the reason I emphasize appearance is, remember, the entire world is appearance. None of it is true, right? Consciousness, truth is beyond the world. But, you know, we think the world has certain laws, and really anything is possible with God, which is what Angus was putting his faith in. Anything is possible with God. It's a matter of all of the conditions coming together in order to create that manifestation. And again, you know, in the Course in Miracles, Jesus says something like, all miracles need to be under Christ control, right? That means that we are not to decide, oh, I'm going to heal this illness, or I'm going to raise this person from the dead, or I'm going to make sure we get that ranch, right? That's not our role. Our role is what Angus did. I don't know what to do. And then just follow the guidance in the moment and let consciousness take care of the rest. And when the conditions are right, in fact, always the conditions are right for some manifestation, and that's the manifestation that is going to come forth, and we're to love that, whatever it is, not be disappointed and wish there had been a different manifestation. Also, what was really interesting is after the woman was raised from the dead, another woman knelt at Angus's feet, and Angus did not allow the ego to take credit, right? Angus remained humble, he remained empty, and he gave all credit to God. And this reminds me of an excerpt in NTI 1 Corinthians that says, do not make the mistake of believing that an empty shell is something other than me, meaning the Holy Spirit. It is not. It is only me. This is possible because it is an empty shell and no one else. Therefore, do not praise your brother or yourself apart from me, from my word as it is shared. Thank your brother for being an empty shell. And be grateful that you remember to put yourself aside, but thank me for my word. In that way, you acknowledge what is real for its reality, and you thank that which isn't real for recognizing its unreality and for getting out of the way of truth. Think about that. Our job as the apparent human is to get out of the way, not to try and make things happen. That's why we're always told not to be attached to outcomes. Right? Our job is to get out of the way, not to try and make things happen, not to pick the miracle, not to try and use the law of attraction in order to make a specific outcome happen. There was also, which Jacqueline mentioned, the hailstorm which destroyed Angus's corn crop, and it looked like he might lose his farm, and he decided to trust God anyway. You know, it's easy to trust God when things are going your way. But what about when it looks like everything's going the opposite direction from what the personality would want? What about trust? And you know what was interesting about Angus? He didn't trust God that the crop would survive. He trusted that no matter what happens, he trusted God. If the crop fails, I still trust God. It kind of reminded me of Job in the Bible. Because in the Bible, in Job chapter 1, you know, the devil, Job really loves God, but the devil goes to God and says, well, the only reason he loves you is because you give him everything he wants. You know, he's rich, he's successful, his sons are all healthy, they're married to beautiful wives, you know. It's just, and so God gives the devil, and of course this is just a story, but he gives the devil permission to do whatever he wants to Job except for kill him. And let's see, his house burns down, all of his family members are killed, his crops are destroyed, boils break out in his body, and he continues to praise God. See, that's the kind of trust.
Continues to have faith.
Continues to have faith. That's the kind of faith, that's the kind of trust that Angus displayed. It wasn't, I'm going to trust him if things go my way. It's, I'm going to trust that whatever happens here is in my best interest. So, again, if we talk about the ranch, right? You know, we love that ranch, and we feel things when we're around it, and there's a distinct possibility that some miracle will occur and it will become our ranch. There's also a distinct possibility it won't. Right? So are we going to rejoice only if it goes one way? Or are we going to rejoice that whatever happens is in our best interest and the best interest of anyone? That's the question. Is it a decision to rejoice no matter what consciousness does?
That's faith like potatoes.
That's faith like potatoes. The decision to rejoice no matter what consciousness does. That's incredible faith. It's like I said, it's really easy to have faith and to rejoice if things go, quote, my way. But if I'm going to be like Job and be like Angus, I'm going to rejoice no matter what happens, right? And it's a pre-decision. Angus made a pre-decision. He didn't know yet whether he was going to lose his farm or not. He made a pre-decision to rejoice no matter what happens, right? And then, as Jay is pointing out, Jay says he stood up in faith so the corn stood up. Yeah, well, that is what happened. Actually, the corn didn't stand up completely, by the way. The corn had a permanent bend in it. It stood up somewhat. And it never was good enough to be eaten. It was good enough to be seed for new corn crops. And he sold it for seed. But he rejoiced. Wasn't he rejoicing in that? It wasn't like, oh, geez, you know, that was supposed to be food. Right? He rejoiced that it rose to the degree that it did and that it was available to be seed. And he would have rejoiced if he had lost his farm. He had a pre-decision to rejoice no matter what happens. At one point, God asked Angus, are you prepared to be a fool for me? Think about that one. Are you prepared to be a fool for me? And that's, of course, the ego is the one that would interpret you as a fool. You know, if you say that, if you do that, if you act that way, everybody else is going to think you're a fool. Right? That's what the ego says. And so God's question is, are you prepared to be a fool for me? And in fact, once I was asked if I was ready to be, if I was willing to be a lunatic for God. That's the word that was used for me, willing to be a lunatic for God. And when this kind of inner prompt comes, it's really asking us if we will follow intuition even when intuition makes no sense to our thinking mind or the thinking mind of others. Right? And saying yes to this kind of an inner prompt is taking a really big step. When you say, yes, I'm willing to be a fool for you, or I'm willing to look like an idiot for you, or I'm willing to be a lunatic for you, I'm willing for people to think I'm insane for you, you know, I'm willing to follow intuition no matter what, that's when you're going to stop judging your intuition with your mind. Until that point, guidance will come, but you'll still allow the mind to go in and say, does this guidance make sense or not? Right? But after this point, you're no longer going to allow your mind to do that. You're just going to follow guidance with complete trust. And that's a decision that Angus made in this movie. God also asked Angus if he was willing to spend less time with his family. You know, and at some point, we are all asked to surrender our individual values. For some of us, it might be spend less time with the family. For some of us, it might be make less money. For some of us, it might be less famous. Right? People have given up fame for truth. But at some point, we're all asked to give up our personal values for the truth. And if we aren't willing to do that, then of course, we're just clinging to ego. When we cling to our individual values, we cling to the false self. So at some point, we have to be willing to give up what we value and follow the truth. And again, Angus did that. I mean, he just made all the right decisions all the way. Doesn't matter whether he was Methodist or non-dual. It really doesn't matter. He made all the right decisions. What was it that Jay said? Something about he's not partial to a particular flavor of faith, something like that. See, we're seeing perfect faith in Angus, even though his belief system was different, right? His faith was perfect. And that's why this story has unfolded in the way that it did. Angus began to demonstrate. He not only said, yes, I'll be a fool for God. He began to be that fool when he insisted that he needed the King's Stadium for a prayer meeting. And again, this appeared very impractical, as Jacqueline pointed out, because the stadium costs millions of dollars to rent for one day, right? Millions of dollars. However, he had this feeling. It wasn't his ego saying, oh, I got to have the stadium. It was just this feeling inside, this is what it's got to be. And remember, he's surrendered. He's going to be a fool for God now. He's not going to question whether his guidance is practical or not. He's just going to do what he feels guided to do. So he had this inner feeling. He trusted it. He was committed to it, even though it didn't make sense or he didn't know how it was going to happen. And as we know, it was rented to him at a much less sum of money. We don't know what it was. But that sum of money was something that he was able to come up with, and he had his prayer meeting in the stadium. Now, when it came to Alistair's death, the little boy who fell off the tractor, this is a very important part of the movie because, as we've already talked about, magical thinking often gets in the mind of the spiritual seeker, and magical thinking is the idea that as I get into harmony with the truth of the universe, everything's going to go my way. Right? And as Connie pointed out, this doesn't, quote, protect you from life. Life still happens. You know, and again, it's only the ego. It's only the ego that would think everything is going to go my way. So we want to remember that law, that spiritual law that we looked at earlier, that when conditions are right, consciousness manifests as a temporary appearance within consciousness. That temporary appearance could be a flower, a baby, a disease, or an appearance that seems to defy the laws of our world. It could also be a tractor accident that kills a little boy. What we need to see is that all activities that occur in consciousness, all physical activities, all manifestations, are actually equal. Remember, anything is possible with God. We didn't say only good things are possible with God. Anything is possible with God. There are innumerable inputs that are being fed into the creative principle by everyone and all of their believing and all of their worrying and all of their faith and all of that all put together. These innumerable inputs are being fed into the creative principle, and it does create a script. You know, the way Nisargadatta says this is everything creates everything, right? With Buddha, it's called interdependent. Co-arising, right? And anything is possible in this interdependent co-arising. And the fact that I have faith, that I have, quote, perfect faith in God, doesn't mean things are going to go my way. It does mean I've chosen to have perfect faith in God. You see? That choice is independent of how things go. That's what we have to get. It's perfect faith in God, period, independent of how things go. To the universe, to consciousness, okay, and this is really hard for the mind to accept, but to consciousness, there's no difference between a rain that puts out a fire and a tractor accident that kills a little boy. It's just a temporary manifestation through the creative principle that came through how we all are placing our attention as a whole, right? It's just a temporary manifestation through the creative principle. We're the ones that judge some things as good and some things as bad. Some things as I want, some things as I don't want, right? This is just how everything came together to create the next something. In this case, the next something was this accident. If we believe in a God being, right? You know, who rewards us because we put faith in him, then when things like Alistair's death happen to us, that's really going to throw us for a loop, because then God failed us, God betrayed us, or is there even a God? But when we realize what the creative principle is, it's just a law, a natural law that just occurs. Right? When we realize what the creative principle is and how it operates, we no longer give credit or blame to a God being for what we perceive as good or bad. We just see that the conditions came together in a certain way, and as a result, this temporary manifestation occurred. And if we're going to have faith like potatoes, we're going to trust all things. Right? We're going to rejoice. Although, of course, Alistair didn't. I'll talk about that in a moment. We're going to rejoice through all things. And sometimes, have you ever rejoiced through mourning? Doesn't mean you don't mourn. There's a different quality of mourning. Now, Angus didn't choose to rejoice. He didn't mourn in that way. He suffered. But you can mourn in a way that's beautiful, right? So you don't ever have to stop rejoicing, although rejoicing can look different in different situations. You don't ever stop loving, the loving all method, not the loving some things method, right? The loving all method. So, as we already know, it's always helpful to choose the highest vibration that's possible to us, because, again, that vibration feeds into the creative principle and is a part of the everything that makes everything. Well, in this movie, after Alistair's death, Angus is angry, and he says he feels so much shame that it pushes up in him like vomit. Those are his words. Think about that. And some of us know what that feels like, don't we? So much shame that it pushes up in him like vomit. However, the fact that he's sitting there talking to a minister about this, telling him how he feels, instead of turning against God and against the church, shows that he's trying to heal. Under these circumstances, what he is doing is the highest vibration he can choose. He's trying to heal through this shame that he feels, right? He's choosing the highest of vibration that's available to him in the moment. And sometimes
he certainly isn't denying his feelings.
And he isn't denying his feelings. And, you know, and sometimes the best we can do is exactly what Angus did. I mean, you know, our best looks different at different times, right? Again, one option would have been to turn against God. I trusted you until this happened.
Right.
Right? But instead he goes to a minister. He talks about his feelings. He's not in denial. And eventually, as we know, it does heal. Right, and that's what that dream symbolizes. Is it his brother's dream or his brother-in-law's dream?
His brother's dream.
His brother's dream. His brother's dream. When Alistair comes and he's happy where he is, that actually symbolizes the healing, right? The healing finally comes. It's also interesting because there's a woman on the street who says to Angus's wife, "Did Angus pray for the boy? God could have raised him from the dead," right? And this just symbolizes to me confusion. You know, and we all get this kind of confusion. You know, we think that things are always supposed to look a certain way. Like at one point, Angus was able to raise this woman who was struck by lightning from the dead. He should have been able to raise the boy too. But again, we got to remember that, you know, consciousness just comes together in the way consciousness does. There aren't these rules that say it's always supposed to look a certain way. That's our mental judgments again, right? So that woman just symbolized our confusion.
I thought she was mocking.
She's mocking him? You thought she was mocking him? Yes. So in the scene where, you know, at the beginning of the movie, we see Angus fighting the stump, trying to get the stump out of the ground. And then towards the end of the movie, I only have 4 minutes left. I'm not even going to get through all my stuff.
You're going. Just keep going.
I may have to just post this.
Oh, that would be good.
I'll post this. Mm-hmm. I'll send it to Ken, and Ken can post it with the audio. Okay? So let me read this last one, and then I'm going to probably have to stop. When we see that scene where Angus is still fighting that same stump towards the end of the movie, even though he's been through all of this other stuff, that's really symbolizing that he still hasn't let go of separation yet. right? Like he's gone through a lot of healing, but he still believes he's a separate, independent man, and he's fighting this stump. And when he lets the Zulus remove the stump their way, that symbolizes Angus's final surrender, or the death of the Ingo. And after this, Angus really represents enlightenment in the movie. After that, his faith is really perfect. It's kind of like Jesus is different after that night in the Garden of Gethsemane, right?
Yeah.
Right? Before the Garden of Gethsemane, he still gets upset in the temple and curses that little fig, that poor little fig tree. But after the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus is the perfect demonstration of enlightenment. And it's the same thing with Angus after this stump. And that, for me, on my list, was number 17. And I actually have 22 comments. So I will send this to Ken, and Ken can post it with the audio, and those of you who want to read the rest of my comments can start with number 18. And Jacqueline, this is your show. You want to come say hi?
I'm just going to tell what next month's movie is. Unless, thank you, Regina. Great sharing. Unless anyone has any other comments they would like to share, I will tell you what next month's movie is. Next month's movie is called Mr. Nobody. M-R period Nobody. Mr. Nobody. It's available on Amazon, YouTube, Google Play. It's available free streaming on Netflix. All those other sites, you'll need to rent it. It's night and day different from the movie we watched this month. It's a fun watch, but expect the unexpected. It's not a linear movie, but that's by design. So I think it's about infinite potentiality, and it discusses time. It's a really cool movie. So if you don't get it the first time, that's fine. I don't think anybody, well, I don't know, I don't want to scare you off. Watch the movie. You're going to love the movie. You may need to watch it twice. All right. I love you guys. I appreciate you being here and participating. Or three times, Kathy says, or three times. you know, it's really cool. I was thinking when Regina was sharing, it's just so... it's so obvious in her sharing how she watched the movie with Holy Spirit. You know, these things, you wouldn't just, you know, meet some guy on the street and go, well, what does that mean to you? I mean, you really need to be tuned into that. And I think Regina's just a lovely demonstration of that. And I think we all get our wisdom from Holy Spirit. So, you know, sit there with a pen in your hand and ask Holy Spirit, what the hell does that mean? You know? And I think you'll get your answer. So I appreciate you guys. I appreciate you letting me share. I appreciate your sharing. And they're saying thank you, thank you.
Thank you.
And we'll see you next time. Okay, I'm letting go of the mic.